I'm finding that I have come into a lot of my reinvention because I've just always listened to this intuition that I have. I've always wondered what's possible. I have the word imagine tattooed on my foot because I start my life with the idea of I can imagine something else. I can imagine a different choice. I can imagine a possibility.
Welcome to Reinvention Rebels, stories of brave and unapologetic women 50 to 90 years young, who have boldly reimagined life on their own terms to find new purpose and possibilities. I'm your host, Wendy Battles. Ready for a dose of inspiration? Let's get to it. Hey, Rebels. Welcome to another episode of the Reinvention Rebels podcast. I'm your host, Wendy, and I am so excited that you are here today for this new episode with an amazing guest. You will love her, and I'll introduce her in just a moment. But first, if you're a first-time listener, I'm so glad you have found the Reinvention Rebels podcast. This is the place to come for information and so much inspiration about what is possible in midlife and beyond when we decide that we are going to reinvent ourselves. And by reinvention, I don't mean it has to be something huge. It can be as big or small as you want it to be. It could be learning something new, developing a new talent, deciding to move somewhere else. It could be anything you want it to be, but it is a journey. And I know many of us, myself included, have reinvented ourselves many times over the course of our lifetime. That's so typical, right? That we do that. But to do it when we can get more quiet, when we can lean into what our soul is telling us, when we can listen to that wisdom that bubbles up, that's part of what we talk about on the Reinvention Rebels podcast, how we can look within for inspiration to help light our path as we reinvent. And I have the pleasure of interviewing remarkable women with such juicy, interesting reinvention stories that hasn't all been smooth sailing, mind you. They've had their challenges along the way. They've done it scared and done it anyway. They have figured it out. And they remind us that if they can do it, we can do it too. So if you're looking for inspiration, you are in the right place. And I'm just so tickled that you are here. I want to mention that starting next week on the 18th, we are kicking off the Midlife Mojo Virtual Summit, the 18th through the 22nd, 100% free. It's all about inspiration to get us moving toward those midlife dreams of ours. I am one of 25 midlife influencers that has the pleasure of hopefully inspiring all of you about some things that we can do. I will be doing a very cool Instagram Live on Sunday, the 18th. So if you haven't signed up already for this free summit, please do so. Details are in the show notes. It's going to be fun. I don't know about you, but I don't think most of us have enough fun. We're so busy doing all this stuff of life and trying to keep all those balls in the air. But what if you took a little time for you? What if you invested in yourself with time and inspiration and ideas that will help inspire you and move your life forward? And that's what this summit is all about. Plus, I am giving away a super cool Reinvention Rebels prize pack. I'm just about to introduce the coolest Reinvention Rebel swag. I'm excited to be able to start giving some away, starting with the summit that's coming up. One lucky winner is going to go home with a prize pack. There'll be some other things throughout the week as well. But I hope that you're going to come join me and you're ready to, I don't know, move it forward in your life. Now, let's get on to our guest for today. Jen is amazing. You will love her reinvention story. It is so cool what she has done, where she was and where she is today, and how her reinvention journey unfolded. All kinds of good stuff in this episode that I know you're really going to enjoy. I am so excited to introduce you to my guest today, Jen Balco, a woman who is not afraid to reinvent herself. Here's a little bit about what I mean. At 25 years old, she packed her car and drove across the U.S. to start a different life. At 33, she sold everything and packed a few suitcases to move abroad. At 44, she began to walk across 2 continents with a man she loves. At 48, she chose to leave behind an almost 30-year career and began again almost completely from scratch in a completely new sector. And at 50, she committed to living the rest of her days as a joy journey, where her own invitation to be fierce, fun, and fantastic is expressed as returning to her essence. And that essence is pure joy. Jen nurtures joy journeys and encourages fellow creatives to embrace the small joys and the fullness of their fierce, fun, and fantastic lives. Through Always On My Way, Jen inspires playfulness, reinvention, resilience, and wonder through movement, meditation, making, and musing. And she draws on 30 years of journalism experience to mentor aspiring writers via jenniferbalco.com. She holds space as a meditation guide and femme movement facilitator and counts a 3.5-year walk from Bangkok to Barcelona among her achievements. Jen Belko, welcome to the Reinvention Rebels guest chair.
Thank you. You make me sound so good.
Well, it's because you are, and I am thrilled. I'm thrilled that you have joined me today. I know we're going to have an amazing conversation about reinvention and probably not enough time for all the questions I have for you. And I just have to give a shout out to our mutual friend, Amy Keach, who is the reason we are together, because she connected us and said, you two amazing women should know each other. And there we go. And I had the pleasure of being on your show. And I'm so happy to be able to return the favor and be in conversation with you.
Thank you for joining. And just thank you for the joy that you're putting out in the world and spotlighting all of these amazing women. They're so inspirational, like all of them.
I do want to start our conversation by asking you about this 3.5-year trek across 2 continents, because, you know, some people go on like a 3.5-month trek. That seems, you know, reasonable. I swear, Jen, I've never met anyone who's gone on a 3.5-year trek. So this sounds like, one, an amazing adventure, and two, that it is full of reinvention possibilities. How did you do this, and what did you learn about yourself?
It's such a subtle thing and such a bold thing at the same time, right? Like, one day this kind of wind came to me and said, go do something. I was popping around the Instagram and I found a guy who was cycling from Oregon to Patagonia. And then I went to his website. His parents had walked across the United States in the 70s. When I saw that, I sent Louise at work. It was like a June afternoon and years ago. And I sent him this email and I just said, before we're old and broken, let's like go off and do like a long walk. Like, I initially thought it was going to be Barcelona to Bangkok, like the opposite that we ended up doing. And his response, like a few minutes later, was, well, that's a long way. There was no. It was, that's a long way. And then we looked at the map that night and we looked at like all of this land between Bangkok and Barcelona that we hadn't yet really traveled to. We had traveled to parts of Asia and to other parts of Europe, but we hadn't like crossed all those stands in the middle, right? Like all of that Central Asia part was just like the old Silk Road. And then it just was like a yes from the beginning. And I'm like, okay, let's go in 6 months. Luis is a much more conservative planner on these. He's like, we got to save some money. And he said, we'll do it in 5 years. Like, 5 years? You got to be kidding me. We ended up doing it in 2.5 years. We started on my 44th birthday. The first thing I learned is that, I mean, there's so many things you learn in so many different ways that I'm still learning. One of the things I learned is it's no matter how much you love somebody, it is really hard to be at the edge of discomfort with somebody you love all of the time. It's a lot.
That's a lot. A lot of togetherness.
We are very independent people. Like we love each other a lot, but we aren't like, oh, okay, my whole life centers on you and your whole life centers on me. Yeah, it's based in like a freedom. You know, we each have a lot of freedom within our relationship. So being together, and we had traveled for a long time. We had been together almost 15 years already by the time we had started or something, you know, like that. But, and we knew each other really well. But when you're walking in, I don't know, 40 degrees Celsius heat, like over 110 degrees, and you're thirsty and you're tired and you don't know where you're going to sleep at night, and you're going to sleep in some crappy place on the side of the road, out of view, and you haven't showered for days, and you don't Google map thing that says there's a supermarket in the next town and the supermarket's been closed for years, and you're like, just get to the next town to try to find food and water. And it puts a lot of strain on a relationship. And we had just different styles of traveling. You know, I wanted to walk through the pretty parts, and he's very mission oriented. Like, we're walking to Barcelona, boom, like constantly. And it was this constant, like, how do you play with like your divine feminine of go with the flow? And then like the divine masculine of having a mission and a direction. It took a lot. The fact that we survived and are still together and still in love is extraordinary.
It's amazing.
Extraordinary.
It
really
is. And it says so much about being with someone, being in relationship, the ability to navigate challenges that you didn't anticipate, but come up and get
right,
to the
and
other
get
side.
Through it, you know? And I noticed in this walk, like more than ever before, and I knew it existed in me before, but I didn't realize how prominent it was, that so much of my life was based on, if he could do it, I could do it too. If he could do it, I could do it too. And there were a lot of these moments where we didn't walk the same pace. So Luis would be a little bit in front of me, you know, a couple hundred yards, or, you know, like we would, if he looked back, he would see me and I would see him and I saw him ahead. But I'm like, oh, if this guy is walking in 40 degree heat without a problem, I've got to do it too. Like, who is this guy? This was my idea. This was my idea. And he's leaving me in the dust. No way. Like, no way. And
it's not right.
Really, if it wasn't for that motive, like if it wasn't for that motivation a little bit, I don't know if I would have finished, really, because there are so many opportunities to quit and so many reasons to quit along the way. But he is a lot of ways a little bit of my North Arrow, like, because he believes that we could do it. And I believe we could do it. I just believe how we can put it together changes in some ways. We did it. And then there were many times that he knew he had to slow down. So while I was that for him too, like, all right, let's just take a few days off and rest here, or let's spend time with this family that we met in the middle of Iran. Like, this is what we're here for. We're here to experience the culture and the people. And we have time, you know, we can just renew visas. I say that it's not always that easy, but we didn't have a timeline. We had this idea of 3 to 5 years and however long it takes, right? Like, so we could slow down. And we didn't always have to be on a mission. So it was very complimentary in some ways to have somebody who was a little bit more driven to reach the goal. And then somebody who was a little bit more like, we have all the time in the world. There were moments of nice balance in that. But the idea that if he could do it, I could do it. And that's been like a underlining theme of my accomplishments for most of my life, right? Getting to the next mountaintop because somebody else, particularly a guy, was doing it. It was like proving who I am in a lot of ways.
It's really interesting, the reflections that we can have when we get more quiet and tune in. And it seems like walking for 3.5 years will give you a lot of time for this kind of self-reflection that you're talking about and these insights, because I think we live in such a busy world where we're going, going, going. It's easy to get caught up in that. And I certainly think that the pandemic, despite all the horrible things about it, certainly gave many people pause. And this opportunity to tune into themselves in a way that maybe many of us had not before, because we were caught up in that hamster wheel of life and choosing that. And I think it helped us see it. We could choose something different if we want to. We always have choices and we can choose whatever that thing is. And I love that this gave you this amazing opportunity, much bigger than the pandemic, of course, for 3.5 years. To really see some of these things about yourself.
Yeah. And you know what? It's so curious, because if we had actually stayed to Luis's timeline, we would have found ourselves walking in a pandemic and having to make very big choices about whether or not we were going to. And I know some long distance walkers who were caught in that and had to make some very serious choices about whether to continue or to shelter in place in Turkey or in Italy or in different places where they got caught and stuck, or to just put the trip on hold. So we were very, very, very fortunate that we did it in the window of time. We finished in June of 2019, just a few months before lockdown, and that we were able to kind of go, like, it was such a clear yes. And it, because it was such a clear yes for both of us, we really were able to kind of just get through it And it was 3.5 years. There were breaks. We took some summers off and we had monsoon season to deal with in parts of South Asia. So we had to pause on that. And then I had a surgery in India. So we had a few weeks of pause there. So it wasn't 3.5 years of constant walking. There were pauses. But and those pauses were actually sometimes harder than the actual walking, right? Because you're just kind of waiting for the next stage of the walk to start. You're waiting for the visas, you're waiting for something else to happen, but it was a constant change, right? And it just constantly reinforced that the only constant in life is change. And all we have to keep doing is adapting and recalibrating. And there were many days that it was the same day, like you just walk days and days and days and days, and it's the same sort of landscape, the same sort of nothingness, right? Like just like in Uzbekistan, you just kind of walk for days and there's just the same sort of landscape for a long period of time. And we're usually walking on roads. So sometimes there's a lot of traffic and your only focus is to not die because, you know, like there's like in places like India where the road rules are so different than what we're normally used to, right? You're just constantly like hoping that you're not getting scraped by some passing vehicle or, I don't know, a cow that pops out into the middle of the road. You're just all these things that you're constantly like in overwhelm with. But then you go through these more quiet periods and it's like just one foot in front of another, just one foot in front of another. And one foot in front of another gets you across 2.5 continents, you know, like two continents over 3.5 years, right? Like it's just the slow and steady and being okay with it. But I got to say, Wendy, there's a lot of negative self-talk, right? There's a lot of like, why are we doing this? This is so stupid.
Yeah. And I think that we, as women especially, I feel like we're very self-critical. We can be. And, you know, on any given day with not anything major happening, like walking across a foreign country you've never been in and don't even know the culture that well, right? So just in our everyday lives, I think that we can talk to ourselves in the way that most of us wouldn't let others talk to us, yet we do it and often very unconsciously till we kind of awaken in our life and begin to hear and listen to these things. So I can just see how it is that it was this life-changing experience and that this journey, this 3.5 year journey included many, many reinventions along the way as you just navigated things and figured them out. So I'm really curious because you have not only in this journey, this 3.5 year journey, but as we talked about in the opening, you've reinvented yourself many times in many different ways over the years. I'm kind of curious about what's different doing it now in your 50s. Is it a different experience than when you were reinventing young, when you're in your younger days?
Definitely.
Are you thinking, I'll have some of what she's having? Reinvention Rebels are amazing, as you can hear from our discussion. They've put themselves first, decided their dreams matter, and are taking action. They have unleashed their inner rebel and are living on purpose in midlife. Are you ready to start putting yourself first and embark on your midlife dreams, focused on what you want, not others' ideas of what you should do? Come check out my new audio course, Midlife Reinvention from the Inside Out, 8 Essentials to Greenlight Your Life. I share my roadmap to get you started on your reinvention journey, with the key components you need to navigate detours and get on the road to smooth reinvention sailing. Sis, it is time to give yourself the green light to shine in midlife and crush those dreams of yours with joy and purpose. Join today and let's reinvent and get inspired together. Details are in the show notes.
And I just curiously, I was thinking about that exact same question because I was hoping it would come up like here, because reinvention when you're 25 feels like, yeah, I'm just going to go out and like do it. I'm just going to pack up my car.
Yeah, no problem.
Doesn't matter. Drive across the country. Like that just feels like, in many ways, the American dream, right? Like you're going out on the open highway. Right. I grew up with Bruce Springsteen, like Born to Run is my anthem, you know, like going out on the highway and just feeling the freedom of being out there. without knowing anything. Like, I moved to California, I think I had $1,000 in my bank account, like, and it was gone on the first month's rent, you know, like it was,
right,
it was,
right.
I wasn't worried about it. Like, I was like, okay, I'll just get a job. It'll be fine. Yeah. It's not going to be a big deal. And now at 50, and I think also like in my 20s and 30s, and even into my early 40s, I felt like I was being strategic with my reinvention. Like, okay, I'm going to, before I leave for California, I'm going to get a job in New York City. So I have it on my resume. And then when I get to California, I'm going to get a job in technology, because if I can write about technology, then I can write about anything. Can write about Silicon Valley, right? Like, that's another, it was all about like the strategic resume building things that I could do. And now I came back in my 50s, I'm like, how do you measure joy? You know, like, what's the productivity measurement for joy and wealth and like these different things? And I am feeling very strongly like I am in a moment where all of that is collapsing. Like, all of that is collapsing. All these old structures and systems that I used to think were the way that I measured my life. Like, okay, if I have this much money and I earn this much money, I'm enough and I'm successful and I'm doing well. And now I'm in this, yeah, that doesn't really mean anything to me. So what is the priority? What is the meaningful part of what I'm doing now? And it is taking a lot of inner work in some ways to question and wonder about what's possible. I grew up in the, you know, I grew up like most of the women in your audience and your speakers. We grew up in this time where like you had to work hard to break the ceiling. You know, you had to work hard. You had to prove yourself. You had to prove that you could compete with men usually. And then when you reached a certain level of authority, there was still doubts, right? Like, you were still questioned about that. And how did you get there? And what kind of boss are you going to be? Or what kind of, how are you going to lead? So now I'm stepping into a completely different model because I'm in a completely different place. I'm showing up as a mentor, right? Like, I'm showing up as, how can I help others understand their own voice? And I don't know if I have the wisdom and I have the confidence, but I feel like I don't want to call it imposter syndrome, because I don't believe that that's it. I think it's just like, I'm at the beginning of something new and I don't have the outcome clear. Right. And there's not going to be a clear outcome here. And this is why it's difficult for me, because I'm not just like going to get to the next mountain and say, oh yeah, woohoo, I made it. Like, I'm not sure how I'm going to know when I made it. And I don't think it matters. And I think this is the parts of me that are like, you need to have the goal, you know, you need to know that you've succeeded and the validation of that. And then there's the other part is like, Jen, you're 50, you know, like, you don't need any of that anymore. It's not even a useful measurement anymore. Like, it's so not even useful.
That's so interesting. And part of what I hear in you're saying these things is that you're learning how to let go of these preconceived notions of what success looks like and what you should do. And you're charting your own course led by what feels right to you and what feels good. And I think that's so important, because I think so often as women, we are very stuck in, myself included sometimes, these preconceived notions and other people's expectations, and not as much about what we want, which might be different than what other people want for us. And that can be a challenge. So I love that you're like, I'm figuring it out as I go.
And it's funny, because the word let go, sometimes I have a problem with the word let go, right? And I'm sure it's hard to let go. And sometimes I'm wondering, like, am I holding on to this? And is this like whatever this is on life support system, because I want it to be something else? Like, I'm holding on to it because I had expected from myself some other outcome. And I'm like, I'm just going to put it on, you know, resuscitate it and keep resuscitating it and keep holding on to it because I want the outcome that's not coming, right? Like, just, I want the outcome that's not coming. And it's so kind of it's a silly tug of war sometimes, because if the outcome's not coming and I keep pushing it, the outcome's not going to come anyway, right? Like, so I'm finding that the word that I keep landing on is like recalibrate, right? Like, okay, if I was expecting this outcome and I've done everything I could and the outcome's not there, or it's already blossomed and it's already wilting, then why am I not just harvesting that and cutting that out of the garden, right? Like, I'm kind of thinking of my life now as tending garden as opposed to like okay, well, this one had its course of life. It came, it fruited, you know, there was some fruit to it. I appreciated it. And now it's done, right? So like, rather than the deliberate action of letting go, I feel like it's like a pruning, like I'm going to prune it away and recalibrate from there, right? Like, all right, this is great. This was what it was. This is what something did or did not happen. So now I'm just going to change the mindset around it as opposed to making a conscious, I think that's what I'm doing. I think instead of making the choice of letting it go, it's just sort of like, why am I pushing the river on this? Is it the thing or is it me? And if it's me, then I just need to steer a different course. There is a sense of learning how to do that, right? And I guess it does fall into like a surrendering or a let go. I'm not sure. You know, I get stuck on the semantics, Wendy.
Yeah, it's easy to. And I think also in our lives, it's easy to kind of step back sometimes and be able to see and have perspective and reflect on our lives. But I know that when we're in our lives, as so many of us are, we're busy, busy, busy. We're doing all these things and we have this idea, oh, I want to reinvent myself or I want to do something different. But we can get all caught up in like, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know the how. And I don't think we always have the perspective to see those insights that you're talking about, right? To be able to get enough distance to say, I could do a little pruning. I could do some tweaking. I could recalibrate. What I like to think of, I could do it with more ease. It doesn't have to be so hard. I think it's really important to try to get that perspective and step back. Hey, Rebels, because you love reinvention stories and I love reinvention stories, I want to tell you about a parallel podcast with another amazing female indie podcaster. Her name is Jennifer Arthurton, and she has an amazing podcast called Old Chicks No Shit. I mean, just the title alone is pretty cool. She is on a mission to celebrate, illuminate, and elevate midlife women, so much similar to what I'm doing. But you know what? We can't ever have too many of these stories. Now, Jennifer, she reinvented herself in midlife. She has her own remarkable midlife story. And I love the fact that she is sharing the stories of so many other amazing women to inspire us and get us into action and remind us that anything is possible. She showcases how truly powerful women are at this time of life. And as you know, that midlife, it's not the beginning of the end. It's simply the beginning of a cool new chapter where we step into our truth, we own our power, and as I like to say, we share our gifts with the world. But you can imagine there's some cool stuff here. Each week, Jennifer shares a really interesting story or insights and also lessons from real women who are defying cultural stereotypes. Yes, please. And perceptions of what midlife should be. Yes, please again. I love it. And here are just a couple of examples. There's Deirdre, who began rock climbing at 66 and summited North America's highest peak in record time. And Melissa, who left a successful corporate career to chase her passion and become an award-winning documentary filmmaker in her 60s. And Genevieve, who followed a soul nudge, I like that term, and left a 25-year TV producer career in her 50s to found a charity that now serves over 1 million children. I hope you will give this podcast a listen. You can tune in and subscribe to Old Chicks No Shit on your favorite podcast platform. For women that are listening who are thinking, oh my gosh, I'm really resonating with what Jen is saying. And I really want something to be different in my life, but I really don't know how to do that. I don't know how to get started and maybe getting some perspective and being able to step back and kind of assess, this is what's going on. And maybe this is where I want to be. What advice or suggestion would you have for someone listening who's like, I'd like to figure out how I could recalibrate, but I don't know where to start?
Such a good question, Wendy, because everybody's circumstances are so different, right? We are in this collective moment, right? With the pandemic, I think, and I heard it the other day, we're renovating a house and the woman who was selling tiles, she's been at this company for 5 years, but she's been in the industry for 20 years. And she said out of the blue, she's like, I won't be here next week because I'm starting my own yoga center. because I know the benefits of yoga and I want to teach everybody how good yoga feels. And I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, good for you. And she's like, I'm so afraid and I don't know if I have enough money to do it, but I'm doing it anyway. And I said, that's it. Like, you just have to do it anyway. And I think that's representative of what a lot of us are feeling right now, is that whatever happened, wherever you were in 2018, 2019, January of 2020, that moment is gone. Like, it's gone. And we've been through a lot individually, collectively. There's still a lot of grief and sorrow that we have to work through. I'm finding that I have come into a lot of my reinvention because I've just always listened to this intuition that I have. I've always wondered what's possible. I have the word imagine tattooed on my foot because I start my life with the idea of I can imagine something else. I can imagine a different choice. I can imagine a possibility. And that sounds well and good. But for me, one of the most practical things I've done during the pandemic is to start a creativity routine. And it's through creativity that I've found myself understanding that my spirit has a higher purpose, right? Like, this human ego thing that I've been chasing for most of my life has gotten me to this point in understanding that there's still something else that hasn't yet expressed itself, right? So, like, my creativity routine is just a few minutes in the morning every day. It changes every day, depending on how I'm feeling. But before I launch my computer, before I get into everybody else's world, I take whatever song is in my head. I open a song. I do a few minutes of movement just to, like, let my body play. And then I sit down and I meditate. Sometimes I pull some oracle cards and have a keyword for the day and just sort of reflect on that word. And then I pull out, like, this bucket of craft supplies that I've now accumulated over the last 2 years. Like, I had, at one point I had crayons, like, and I remembered that I loved coloring and I remember that I didn't have crayons. Like, how have I gone through my life without a pack of crayons? Like, the most essential things that I used to love as a kid, right? And my niece reminded me of this. Like, yeah, she had so many crayons. I'm like, I'm going to go get myself a 96 box of crayons. And that's how it started. And then I started to buy, like, markers and pencils again. So I pull this out and I just allow my hands to move because it's sort of the meditative space of creative flow, right? If I can let my hands just move across a page in any direction, and I'm not an artist by any means, like, I'm drawing like a 3-year-old, but it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, because maybe me too. Right?
It does not matter. It's just because then what begins to happen is that you start to get these, like, intuitive impulses or these downloads of you've got to take the next step. I don't know why. I don't know how, but I've got to take the next step. And it just always comes down to, like, take the next step where you're at, right? And there's, for me, having that sort of 10-minute, 15-minute practice every day makes my whole day feel more aligned to the obsession of my joy work, right? Like, it puts me in a space where I can say, I have no idea how many people are going to sign up for this workshop. I have no idea how far this ripple is going to go. I don't know what kind of money it's going to bring in, but I'm going to invent it. I'm going to imagine into it. I'm going to invent it. And I'm just going to throw it out there. And when it works or when it doesn't work, then I can look back and say, okay, well, I could have tweaked this, I could have tweaked that, but it's out there in the world and I can grow from that, right? So you don't have to quit your job. You don't have to, you could just take 20 minutes a day and kind of and build this in, yes, right? Just build in one small step. Like, and maybe it's as simple as just making a mind map and saying, putting in the center of the mind. I love doing mind maps because it gives me the freedom to see something visually without having it always be linear, right? Like, it's kind of this, like, big picture thing. You put a question in the middle of a page that you're thinking about, and then suddenly you see, like, a cascading way that it could all come together. And maybe it's only one little thing at the end of a line on the mind map that says, wow, this is what I'm going to try. And then you do it. And then you try it.
I love so many things you just said. I love this idea of lenient to our creativity. And one thing I really appreciate about what you said is that often we might have a morning routine that might be meditation or a little bit of movement, but it isn't necessarily this multifaceted creating a larger space to be creative. Because I do think that when we lean into those really creative things that get us out of our head, I feel like so much of this is getting out of our head and into our bodies, into our heart, into our soul. And that's where I feel like that deep wisdom about our lives bubbles up. Not when we're like, oh my gosh, I really want to reinvent myself and I want to really think about all these things I need to do. And I, you know, it's that sort of that willingness to let go combined with the notion of creativity and intuition that we know, like, we are already wise, but we're so busy, we can't really hear it. So I feel like this practice of yours that's so fun and joyful and combines many different things from meditation to movement to just getting out your crayons, you're onto something with this, Jen, that you can unleash new possibilities by getting out of, I got to do it this way, or someone said I should do this. I love
it. Isn't it juicy?
Yes.
It's so juicy.
It is juicy. It's totally juicy.
It's really changed. It's changed a lot of how I move through the pandemic. Because like the pandemic came right after me being outdoors all the time, every single, you know, for days and days and weeks,
yeah,
where I was just in the world, right? And I think the walk reminded me that you need wonder, but you also need endurance. Wonder for me is like, I want to feel like I'm in a state of wonder very frequently. Because it's from the possibility of wonder, right? When you're in awe of something, like for me, it was like just admiring like how hard ants were. I can't even tell you how many ants I've seen on a walk across two continents, right?
I'm sure.
A ton. And you're like, suddenly you become conscious of like, oh my God, don't let my foot fall on this line of ants carrying their heavy thing to their nest, right? Like I became aware of the smallest things. And it, like, I would see a butterfly lying on the side of the road half dead. And with my gigantic 40 pounds of weight on my back, I would lean down and like pick up this butterfly and just create a little, I would create a butterfly funeral for them. And I'd be like, thank you for being beautiful. I see you. I witnessed you. And now I'm going to let you rest somewhere nice. And if there wasn't a tree nearby, like I would carry this butterfly for as long as I could. And then I would find a beautiful place, or the beautiful place that I could find in that moment, and leave this butterfly there. And it's just with a spirit filled sense of like connection that happened organically. Like I didn't, and then it became a thing. And Luis would look back and see me like bending down back, you know, with all this backpack falling over my head and be like, what are you doing? I said, there was a butterfly on the side of the road and I couldn't let it go, you know, like, I couldn't let it go. So I picked it up. Right. But it's this, and then it's the endurance, like the walk. Before I did the walk, I did train for marathons and half marathons. So I understood the sense of endurance. And I think that's what's missing sometimes in the conversations about reinvention, is that there's this idea you're going to wake up one day and it's all just going to fall into place and you're going to reinvent yourself and be something different.
Yeah.
And it, boom, it could
there
happen.
You go.
And that might be the light in both.
Yeah.
Aha moment that says, I'm from now on forever in, I'm going to be this person and not that person. And it could come like that. But then to actually embody that, to actually live that, it is one step after another for as long as that feels good to you. It's you got to give it a good effort. You got to give it a good effort, because if you're willing to like try it for a week and say, oh no, this isn't me, I don't know at which point you let go of it, or at what point it becomes like something that's on life support system and you're like hanging on to and clinging to, or when it actually does turn into something really powerful for you. But I know that there's a certain amount of effort and willingness to keep showing up and doing it that has to come into play. Natalie Nixon writes about this in her book, The Creativity Leap. Like, it takes wonder and rigor. Creativity leaps take wonder and rigor. And if reinvention is a creativity leap, it takes wonder and it takes rigor.
I love like that. Wonder and
you
rigor.
You need both.
I totally see that, right? Because we can get inspired. We can get some brilliant idea. We can lean into our creativity and our intuition and get this idea. Oh my gosh, I really feel moved to do X. But you're right about the rigor, because that's just not enough. It's not enough to have an idea or to get this inspiration. You have to figure out, how do I put that into practice in some way? And I feel like so much of it is, it comes down to, are we willing to commit to ourselves? Are we willing to make a commitment that I have a dream of some kind and it's really important to me, and I'll figure out a way to make it happen? Because as my mom used to always tell me, honey, you seem to have time to get together with your friends. You make time for the things you want to do. And I don't think it's any different as we age, right? We all make time for the things that are most important to us. And if our reinvention dreams are that important, we'll find a way. Like, you know, I get up every day at 4:45 to make my reinvention dreams possible, right? With the podcast, because I just know that's what I'm meant to do. And for me, that's living on purpose. And it's this idea of this unimaginable, well, it is imaginable now, this joy, this deep joy that you talk about. And
when you remember right? it, I'm going to so say when you remember it.
When you remember it, and you're right, Jen, when you remember it, because I think we've all experienced joy in some way in our lives, and especially mm-hmm. when we're younger. Life can be just much more joyful than when you grow up, you're like, oh, now I have all this responsibility.
That's it. Yeah.
Right. Down. So we have to like, that's such a great segue into talking a little bit about your joy journey and how how did you get on this journey? And what's one simple thing you've learned from getting into much deeper joy?
How I started, I think I have to attribute it directly to the walk. And there was this very clear moment in Azerbaijan, and it was very hot. It was August. It was super, super hot. And we found ourselves walking through these back roads that had vineyards on each side, but there was no shade. There were just vineyards. There was no trees or anything. And at some point I said to Luis, I said, what is the joy in this? Like, why are we doing this? It's so hot. Like, everybody in Azerbaijan is like at the lake in the mountains. Like, there's nobody around here. Like, there's no shade. Like, why are we doing this? Like, what is the joy in suffering so much? Do you see the amounts of sweat like falling down my face? Like, I just haven't showered in days, right? Like, what is the joy in this? And he just looked at me. He said, all the people that we've met along the way and looking at the landscape. And I'm like, yeah, okay, but that's not enough, right? So he continued, you know, in the way that he walks a little bit ahead of me. And I continued in my slow, like, what's the joy in this? Why am I so miserable? Like, this was supposed to be a fun thing. And you won't believe this, Wendy. A few minutes later, somebody stopped on the side of the road, a car pulled over on the side of the road. And there was a stand in the middle of the road with grapes. And he stopped there. I passed him at the same time. And he's like, what are you doing here? And I said, oh, I'm walking to Barcelona, you know, from Azerbaijan. He's like, you're walking to Barcelona? I said, yeah, I came from Bangkok. And he's like, oh my God, this is crazy. Do you want to buy grapes? And so he bought me some grapes and he called his wife out of the car. And the wife came out and she's like, you won't believe this. This woman is walking with her partner to Barcelona. And she's like, oh my God, that's crazy. So at the end of this conversation, we exchanged our names. And her name is Svenj, S-V-E-N-J, which in Azerbaijani means joy. She's like, you can call me joy. That's what it means in English. And I could not believe that her name was Joy, right? Like, I just couldn't believe it. I wrote an essay about this that actually was published. But I caught up to Louise with the grapes. I'm like, here, have some grapes. I said, you won't believe this. Out of all of the names in the world, her name is Joy. And he's like, uh-huh. I said, I was just talking about this, right? Like, I was just talking about, like, what is the joy in this? And then joy appears, right? Like, this was such a big moment for me. And he's like, do you feel better now? And I said, yeah, I do. And then I start, like, the rest of that day, I was like, oh, my God, joy is always right in front of me. I just don't always remember to look at it. And out of the blue, like, in the middle of this back road where there was, like, one car an hour, this car contained a woman named Joy. Isn't it? Like,
literally, it's like fascinating.
This symbol, like this synchronistic, serendipitous moment of the small symbol of Jen, joy is always right in front of you. It's always around you. Like, you just have to look at it.
Yeah.
And name it. Like, I name it, right? Like, out of all the names in the world, she could have had like Mary, you know, but her name is Joy. And from that moment on, that's how I began to decide that I am going to measure my life by joy. I've spent a lot of my life up until that moment not understanding that that was the goal. The goal before that was to have a certain amount of money, to have a certain kind of life, to have material possessions, to travel when I wanted to. I had rearranged my life in a way that I could travel without ever asking permission for it. So I set up a freelance business to do that. But it was in that moment, from that moment on, where it started to crystallize and say, if I am, what am I going to do with this one precious life? You know, if I am out here walking the world and that's part of my precious experience in life, then the value that I hold has to change, because then it means that I have to remember that joy is always within my reach, that it is my essence and that I can cultivate it. And that's from, and then how those words all came together during the pandemic. I didn't have the clear word of joy journeying necessarily, but I did hear something about this idea of like creating a 30-year plan. It's some astrological thing. Like, don't think small in this moment. It was like, think of your 30-year plan, like envision your 30-year dream. And then I said, I want to have a 30-year joy journey. And that's how I started it. And it's not easy. I mean, every day brings a different challenge and a different thing to think about. And,
exactly.
You know, financial questions about financial security and pandemic and health and all sorts of things get in the way of that. But it does come back then to the practice of, I'm just going to have this 5 minutes of joy time where I just splash paint on a page and then throw the page away, or create like a little altar of leaves that I found outside, and it'll last for 2 days and then it's gone. Right? There's no attachment to it anymore. Like, there's not an attachment to it. And that's been important.
I think that so many of the things you said to me are about awakening to our own life, to turning our radar on, to listening and leaning in and trusting ourselves, to trust ourselves that we know the answers, that, or that, that when they come up, that we can trust that that is divine guidance or whatever you might want to call it, that can help steer ourselves. Because I think that there's so much in life that's scary. These days, things are so uncertain, so chaotic. There's so many things that have been turned upside down. And so I feel like sometimes I don't even recognize my own life. I'm like, what is going on? What is going on? But I also feel like I can lean into this inner light that is within. If I maybe stop looking so externally and lean into what's inside and recognize that even in dark days outside of me, I have this inner light. We all have this inner light. And Jen, you are such an amazing example of this inner light that you have lit yourself up from the inside out. And what you're doing to me is such a reflection. You know, the external work you're doing is a reflection of this inner work that you've done to uncover your joy journey and what brings you this joy. And to me, that is everything when it comes to being our best selves as we age, as women, to reinventing ourselves, and however that manifests, big or small, it doesn't even matter, that it's this inside job. And you so beautifully articulated how that's unfolded. And you know, I love that story though, about the side of the road.
I
can feel myself there. I can feel myself there and hear them saying, what the heck? You are crazy. How can you just, because when I heard this, I was like, you walk from where to where? You did what? I can barely hike like a few miles. I'm like, what? So I just love everything about this. I have to ask you this question. As we begin to wrap up, I must ask you, stepping back, I know this is a big question to ask you for you to give me a brief answer, but looking at all of the things you've done, looking at how you've reinvented yourself in many different ways and thinking about where you are right now, if you had to give your reinvention journey a theme or a title, what would that be?
I think instead of a title, I would probably give it as a formula, which seems weird to say in this moment, but it's something that I actually keep on my desk and on my corkboard where I work. It's joy journeying plus fierce awakenings equals profound human experiences. And I think that's what I want. I just want to have profound human experiences. And those are the two elements that for me, I always seem to, like you were just saying, like the waking up to yourself, but it is, there's a fierceness to that. Like when you wake up to yourself, there is something that's fierce, fun, and fantastic about that. And those are some of the words that like keep showing up in my life, right?
Yes.
Like it's a joy journey that involves a lot of fierce awakenings, which could be the pivot moments, which could be these aha moments, but they could just be the small joys too, right? Like just appreciating something that you didn't notice before with a slightly different perspective. And then not every experience I have is going to be a profound human experience, but I think I want my life to be a profound human experience for me.
Mm-hmm. That's deep, girl. Profound human experience. And I'm right there with you. I love this formula. I love it. And it's just brilliant. And speaking of joy, I am so joyful to be having this conversation. And as we're wrapping up, I want to ask you one last question about where can people find you? You are amazing. And I know people are going to be moved by listening to this extraordinary story of what you've done and how you have evolved and reinvented in many different ways, in many different decades. How can people find Jen and soak up more of your amazing wisdom?
Thanks, Wendy. Alwaysonmyway.com is the place where I'm mostly at every day, you know, every day these days, alwaysonmyway.com, which makes sense considering my life.
It does.
I'm always on my way somewhere and becoming more of that. So, and then the mindful writing mentor part of my life is at jenniferbalko.com, and that's Jennifer, BALJKO.com. And I have a Facebook group, Fierce Awakened Woman is my Facebook group. If you'd like to hop over there as well, that's where we're talking a lot about this fierce, fun, and fantastic reinventions for ourselves, where you also know, you've also been on there and yes, know about that.
I have, and it's awesome. And there's just a group of really inspiring people. So if you're feeling like, I don't know where to begin, I want a little inspiration, people are just very authentically sharing, like, the ups and downs, the joys and struggles, what it means to awaken and find that fiercer self, which is within all of us, right. That rebel.
The rebel.
And, right? The rebel in all of us. And so I'd highly recommend it. I highly recommend it, as Oprah might say, right?
Thank you, Wendy.
It's like one of Wendy's favorite things. You know, Oprah has her list.
That's
I got my list.
That's
now,
right. And your list is extraordinary, by the way.
Why? Yeah. Thank you. Why, thank you. I cannot thank you enough. I am just full of gratitude and appreciation for you joining me and sharing your journey, what you've experienced, and how you continue to evolve. That's the kind of inspiration I believe we all need to spur each of us forward in our own way as we figure out the how. Sort of the what and the how of reinvention. So thank you, amazing Jen. Thank you for gracing me with
your
presence.
And thank you. Thank you, Wendy. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for the joy you keep putting out into the world. Inspiration. Pure, like just pure inspiration. So thank you.
Okay, wasn't that so cool? Don't you love Jen's story? I mean, seriously, how does someone go on a reinvention journey for over 3 years. I mean, trek from Thailand to Spain? It seems kind of crazy. Yet she did it. And you heard about the ups and downs. This wasn't smooth sailing. She talked about the self-doubt and the negative self-talk that crept in as she was trekking with her partner on this epic hike, which, by the way, is now a documentary, which is so cool. And I'm going to link to it in the show notes so you can learn more about this journey that she went on. But I am so inspired by what she did. And no, I am not going to go trekking across anything like that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to carry a backpack around and do all that. But I'm inspired because it reminds me that I can do anything on my terms, in my way. I can reinvent myself in a way that works for me, just like she did. And she's leaning into more joy and now helping people find that joy. So it just is, it's a gentle reminder about what is possible and how we can apply these same ideas to our own life in a way that works for us. If this inspired you, please forward it to a friend, because I want as many people as possible to get inspired about what we can do and be. By the way, speaking of getting inspired, if this sparks something in you, I want to encourage you to download my free 5 questions to spark your curiosity and inspire your reinvention rebel's journey. It's some questions to get you started as you think about what could be possible. Details are in the show notes. I am looking forward to seeing you very soon. Again, come join us at the Midlife Mojo Virtual Summit. It is starting in just a couple days. It's going to be big fun. I can't wait for you to be there and join us and get inspired. And remember, keep shining your light, rebels. The world needs you and all that you have to offer. Are you tired of waiting for someday? Feel like you're too old or it's too late to reinvent yourself? Unsure of how you'd even get started on the path to midlife reinvention? I'm here to help. As your guide on the side and host of the top 2% globally rated Reinvention Rebels podcast, I've been around the reinvention block a lot. Here's a simple way you can get started. Sign up for my free audio, 5 questions to spark your curiosity and inspire your Reinvention Rebel journey. It all starts with getting curious about what's possible. And I've got 5 questions to help tease out some very cool ideas. Let's get started. Details are in the show notes.